How's everybody doing? You know, you ever been to a funeral? And the preacher is going on and on about how good person this guy is in the box. And just, he was a loving guy and this was that and good to his family and just a great producer in this society. And you knew all the time, that guy was a minister to society. See, from the life I came from the streets. I came from the gang world. I came from the dope world. And I knew guys who robbed and killed people. And when they got killed, I'd go to their funeral and the pastor would stand over and say how good of a guy he was. And I'd sit there and think, well, who's he talking about? And I say that to say this, there's going to be a dash between those two numbers. And I don't want anybody to have to lie about my dash. I don't want anybody to tell a lie about my dash. When that first number started, my life was a mess. And I'm not pretending that it wasn't. My life was a mess. I put a lot of things into the world and into being ignorant. But when God changed my life, I don't ever want to be a hypocrite. That's the one thing. I don't know how many of these tables and these rooms I've sat around, listened to the message, and went right back to being a fool. I don't know how many of these rooms I sat around and had dope in my sock, but I was required to be in that room to get my paper signed. So I sat there to get my paper signed. But my mind was far from it, and my life went into turmoil. You know, I'm going to tell this little story. And somebody probably heard this. Then I get into the word. There were, it's a big church, a mega church. They're having service. Maybe 3,000 people in there in service. 100 armed soldiers come to the door, heavily armed, and they bust into service. And the leader says to them, you got two choices. Said, everybody who renounces God or renounces Jesus can walk out that door right now. Said, but if you don't, get on that wall, the firing line over here. And man, it was just like a fire. People hitting that door, Out of the 3,000, probably 2,200 hit the door. 800 stood on the wall. And the leader looked out the door. He peeked out, saw they were gone. He closed the door, put down his rifle. He said, now those hypocrites are gone. Let's have some church. You know, you can't fool God. See, and I was a master at trying to fool God. I thought if I could fool God. No, actually, I thought if I could fool you, because my mind wasn't even on God then. I thought if I could fool you, if I could come in this room long enough and keep my hair combed. I had hair back in those days. You know, it's been a while. But when I keep it brushed up or put on a nice shirt, I could fool you, then I was okay. Galatians 6 and 7 says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Sow a man soweth, that also shall he reap. And I would come in here and try to fool God and play these stupid games because I thought that you had the power to just make me okay. See, because I didn't really believe God like people did in the church or like I thought it was. I thought it was a game for everybody. So as I would come in, I would sit there and I would say the right things. I was good at memorizations because I have learned something. Your gifts will take you where your character can't keep you. Your gift will get you in a place, but 20 minutes later, you better have some character because you'll come out fast as you went in. And I'm a witness to that. And I just want to read a story real quick out the Bible. And this is out of Acts chapter 5. These were people who were with the church. This was the church. And I'm not talking about the world. This is the church. See, in this room tonight, it's supposed to be the church. We're the body of the church. But let's read what it says. It says, and the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Jose, who lived by the apostles, surnamed Barnabas, and which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and bought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. See, they had a pact. They said, we're going to all put in one thing. We'll take all that we have and put it in. See, right now, every person in this room, you have a choice. Your life is yours, and God gave us all free will. You can do what you want with your life. If I decide to go back to yesterday, that's my choice. He's not going to molest me. He's not going to handcuff me. He's not going to shackle me. He's going to allow me to do what I choose to do. So if it's mine, and I say I'm giving it to God, why would I lie? Because if it's mine, this phone belongs to me. I do what I want with it. If I want someone to use it, I say yes. If I don't, I say no. What I'm saying is, we try to pretend and fool God. I'm going to read on just a little bit further. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? See, we're not lying to God. We're not lying to me. I'm not lying to Marvin. If I go out and get drunk tonight, if I go out and jump in the bed with her or anybody else, I'm not lying to Marvin. I'm not lying to Donnie. I'm not lying to Kayvon. I'm accountable to them, but I'm not lying to them if I do those things and come back in here and pretend like nothing's going on. I'm not lying to them because they don't have a heaven or a hell to put me in. But Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart that you would lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. See, I've learned something. I have to be honest with where I'm at, because there may come a time when things are bothering me. There may come a time where I want to go back to the old person. See, I need to be able to tell Marvin. I need to be able to tell Donnie. I need to be able to tell her. I need to be able to tell Victor the truth. I need to be able to say, this is where I'm at. It's no need in me saying I'm okay and then leaving here and that thing tear me apart. There's no need in leaving. I'm standing right in the place where I can get some help. I'm right with the brother, because the Bible says two are stronger than one. Three is a strand not easily broken. Why not get with Jose and Donnie and get in the corner and say, hey, pray for me, because this is going on in my life. See, after I was saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and had my minister's license on the wall over my bed, I still had a pistol. I still had a pistol because I thought, you know what? If somebody comes in here, I'm going to deal with this. You know what I mean? And I prayed about that thing for a long time. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, if I need this, I don't trust you. If I need this, so I went and did what I needed to do. I took it and got rid of it. Because I didn't need, that's not the person I am. But see, I could have lied. I could have lied all along and said, no, I don't have it. No, I don't do this, but I did. See, I wanted to be whole, so I talked to somebody who I respected to find out what I need to do to get it right. See, I don't want to be a liar. I don't want you to look at me and think I've got it all together. And then when you get to judgment, you look over the chasm of hell and there I stand. See, that's not what it's about for me today. It's not about looking good. I need to tell somebody when I'm hurting. I need to tell somebody that, you know, I've been celibate, going on 8 years. But sometimes the thought comes to me, I'm a human being and I'm a man, and my body remembers what it was like to be with a woman. You know, I didn't forget. I'm not a virgin. But when those things come up in my mind, I talk to my brothers or I go get away. I learn to do the right thing instead of telling that doggone lie, because with that lie comes a price. It says, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He fell down and gave up the ghost. It said, the great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Who was she fooling? Who am I fooling? Why would I struggle all day by myself and get to the house of God, get to the men who have God has blessed their lives and have given love and given wisdom concerning me, and then I hide the problem? Why would I break my arm and go to the doctor and he said, what's hurting? And I won't tell him. Who does that? Why would I be in the doctor's office? Why would I, tomorrow morning I got a dentist appointment. Why would I make him guess which tooth is bothering me? Why would I do that? I might as well not even go. It doesn't make sense to come and leave the same way. Get what you have. And because that pretending isn't going to take us anywhere. We have to be honest about where we are. If someone put me in the trunk of a car or blindfolded me and took me somewhere to Fort Wayne in the middle of a field and let me out and opened the thing and said, now go home. What's the first thing I have to figure out? I got to figure out where I'm at. None of us can get where we want to be until we be honest about where we're at. See, and that kept me hostage for year after year after year. See, I'm not a first-time winner to this program. I'm not a first-time winner to church. Because I've been coming to church a long time, longer than most of you guys in this room are old. But I didn't get saved till 7 years ago, a little over 7 years ago. Because I came with the games. I came thinking if as long as I show up, I did my job. Somebody said, you go to church this Sunday? Oh, yeah, I went to church. I was at church this Sunday. I was there. Yeah, I was there. What did he preach about? Man, it would take me an hour to figure out what this something he was talking about. See, how many times have you found yourself busy and then you turn around and say this? You know what? I forgot to read my devotions. Let me get it over with. Let me get it over with. If that's your mentality, if that's your attitude going, don't even go get it. Come on. Don't even go get it. Leave it. God don't want it. You're not doing God a favor by giving him tips. God isn't a waitress at Applebee's. God don't want your tips. You know what I mean? I forgot. Let me get this over with. Oh, God, here I am. And man, go on about your day. Just keep it real. See, I'm trying to help somebody to not fall the things I fell in. I'm trying to help somebody to not go through what I went through. See, because I stayed out there in the street so long, I've been shot in the head. I've been stabbed. I've been beat with baseball bats. I've been bricked. I got 20 years in penitentiary. But God kept putting me back together. You may not have that in you.
Come on, preacher.
You may not have that in you. See, what I'm trying to tell you is God had a calling in my life. But I was too busy trying to be me. I wanted to hold on to them two little stinking girls on the side. I wanted to hold on to that little bag of dope in my sock. I wanted to hold on to a reputation. I wanted you to think I was something. See, today it doesn't matter what you think about me. Like I said before, people used to laugh at me when I first come out of church and I get up and stand up and raise my hand. I'm looking to both sides. Who's going to laugh at me? See, but what you don't know is the days I was running around through the streets stinking so bad I could smell my feet through my shoes running around, I had a pair of Reeboks that was so old and raggedy that the RE fell off and all I had was a pair of Boks. But was you laughing at me then? You understand what I'm saying? But my pride in church wouldn't let me come to get what was real. See, today, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask me. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, not that I think I'm better than you, but I want you to be better than you. There's a need for you to be better than you because somebody's out there behind you. For every person in this room here, there's somebody required at your hands. There's a soul required out there at your hands. God's great commission was go out into the highways and byways, teaching and preaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Making disciples of all nations. I'll be with you, Lord, all the way to the end of the earth. You are called with a price. You have been bought with a price. And see, we can come in here, and what I thought is, if I could act like it. You know, I learned the dance, because I go to a Pentecostal church back in the day. I learned the dance. I learned how it went, and I could do the dance. I knew how to do the protocol, and so you would think I had it together. You know, I'd buy a nice suit, and I was always built nice enough to hang a good suit. So I'd hang a good suit, and I would look just like the guy. I would look like the guy had it all together, but I was like one of those sculptors that on the outside is beautiful with flowers and all that, but inside is nothing but death. Nothing but death in the graveyard. That's what I was, a walking graveyard. And I thought that, and then I would go up, and we would go up, and they'd pray for people, and they would say, anybody that's saved, come up here and pray. And I'd walk up there with them and put my hands on people. Well, what I was really doing at that point was transferring devils into other people and didn't even understand. Because I wanted to look like something. I wanted to act like something. So I don't have to do that today. I got another story real quick I'm going to read here. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. You hear what he said? He wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. God knew Paul. And Paul knew God. They had a relationship. They had a relationship. He could call him in the night, and he knew Paul would obey. He could call Paul the hard things, and he knew Paul would give it his best. He said, and God wrought a special miracle by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out from them. All he could send a handkerchief, and that was good enough, because he believed he was with God. But let this go, keep going. It says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. See, what happens, they saw a man possessed, and they had saw Paul deliver demons out of people. Now, they saw a man possessed, and they figured they're going to act like this thing. They're going to call this demon out by the Jesus that Paul adjures. See, they said, we're calling you out by the Jesus that Paul adjured. See, because you don't have jurisdiction to go into my bank account and get out anything. I got to put your name on my thing for you to go into my bank account and get anything. You know, I have given her my bank card before she can go get it out, because I give her the authority to go in my bank account. But I don't give my authority to everybody to go into my bank account. I don't even give everybody the authority to speak into my life. And this is what we had to understand. These people was doing what they saw him do, and they said it by, we adjure you by Paul, the Jesus that Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. They were running around, they're going to get this demon out. Seven sons. I bet scrapping guys, big dudes, had muscles, you know, wearing tank tops, I bet you. They're ready. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They got beat down, running there acting. They got beat down acting like they were saved. What I'm trying to tell you is this, very simple. God loves you all. He loves every one of us. And he's no respecter of person. The same thing that's kept Marvin all these years, and all other the mentors that have been kept all these years, the same thing that kept them, the same God will keep you. Amen. It's the same God will keep me. Amen. See, but I have to want to be kept. Right. I have to want to be kept, and I don't want to have to look like I'm politically correct. I don't want, there was a guy in the church, they were having service on Halloween, and they were having a masquerade party across the street. And they were in the church, and they were praying, and there was a guy in there. You know, he always come to church, you know, because he's doing his duty. And so across the street, there was a guy dressed like the devil, had the pitchfork and everything. And he got drunk and got a little unruly, and so they threw him out of the party. So he turned around. He's so drunk, he turned and walked back. He walked into the church by mistake, and he got his pitchfork, and he runs right into this guy. And the guy throws his hands up and says, wait, devil. He says, I've been in this church 25 years, but I never stopped serving you. It's not about a show. It's not about being politically correct or none of those things. It's all about being honest. There was a widow, didn't have much money, who went to a church service. And all these kings and all these magistrates and all these people, they were putting in gold, frankincense, crowns. They were putting in everything. They were going across the altar. They're putting in all these treasures for the offering. And she stood back with the little she had. She had one mite. And she walked up there and she put that one mite in. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody in this place. See, because she didn't give out her abundance. She didn't give it for the show. She gave what she had because she wanted to help. Amen. That's what we got to get in our heart. We got to get in our heart that no matter what, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Before I be a hypocrite, I'll leave her alone. I'll tear this down. I'll leave him alone. I'll quit going. I'll go back to doing what I was doing. If I'm going to be a fool, I'm going to be a full-fledged fool. I'm tired of being half of anything. When I was out there in the streets and I ran with the black gangster disciples, I wasn't a half a gang member. When I was a dope fiend, I wasn't no baby dope fiend. I was a real dope fiend. I was a real live dope fiend. And people say this and that. He did this, he did that, he did this. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't argue with nobody because here's how this worked. If I didn't do it, it's because I didn't think about it. Because on those nights when those binges was on me, and I was down out there, man, and that animal that lived in me, if I would have thought about it, it was coming. If I thought about it, I broke into churches, I broke into my family's places. Nothing was sacred for me. Nothing was sacred for me. So when I gave my life to God, I promised him, the same way I walked up out there, the same time I went through the gunfights out there, the same way I went through the gang battles out there, the same way I battled in prison out there, the same way I walked from Fort Wayne to New Haven to get a hit of dope, is the same way I would do for him. Wherever he called me, I'm going to go. There are people, and there's people going to try to tell you, some of your best friends are going to tell you, well, don't take all that. You tell them, it may not take all that for you. It may not take all that for you. And they're going to try to tell you, well they're going to try to talk you out of it. Well, you don't let your good be spoken evil of. Don't let this, don't listen. Let me tell you something. I say this all the time, and people get mad when I say it, but it's just the truth. Jesus defeated everything on this earth, except for one thing. Jesus did not defeat his good being spoken evil of. His good is being spoken evil of today. And was spoken evil of when he was on the cross. When he raised up the dead, they said, you did that by the devil. So if they're going to do it to him, what makes you think they're not going to do it to me? And if you didn't laugh at me when I was running around there, 40 pounds on the weight, man, and a beard looking scraggly, and teeth yellow, and running around looking crazy, and I don't care about you laughing at me now. I'm trying to help to get somebody, encourage somebody. Give it what you got, man. Give it what you got. You're here. Give it what you got. Don't leave here with that problem that bothered you all day. Don't leave here the case manager been on your back and you don't know how to handle it. And then don't leave here if you're crying because you don't have your kids and they're over here. Sometimes we ask for things we're not even ready for. Sometimes we ask for things, we sit around and we talk about, well, I need my kids back. You know, you hear that a lot in this ministry. If I had my kids, if you had your kids, you'd have more problems because you're not ready. I talked to a young man last night, was talking about relationship. I said, first off, brother, as he was talking to me about relationship, he was asking me to buy him something to eat. I went and bought him something to eat. Then he had a baby and he asked me about buying some Pampers. I went and bought the Pampers. I did those things because that's what God called me to do and I believed him. But he was talking about relationship. I said, brother, first off, let me ask you a question. I said, I had to ask myself this. First off, can I afford a relationship? Am I in position mentally to handle a relationship? Am I mature enough to be in a relationship? Am I financially able to handle these things? Because with a relationship comes responsibility. I said, because what's going to happen is me and her are going to start liking each other. And a month from now, when she realizes I don't have a pot to pee in or one to throw it out of and I can't do nothing for her, and then when she starts looking at other guys, I'm going to get jealous. I'm going to be mad. Then all of a sudden, 6 weeks from now, we hate each other. Two people that could have been good to each other, could have been friends if you didn't just wait it. Now you have a hate relationship. You talking bad about her, she talking bad about you. I just got called the other day over to a restaurant I used to work at. Two people shot, one killed by the girl. By the girl. He's jumping on her because she ain't ready. He can't do for her what she need done. Hey, take your time. Count the cost. Just be real about it. Your time is coming. There was a time where when I got out of prison, I had two outfits and a thing, $50 or something like that. Didn't have a car, didn't have those kind of things. I didn't know what I was going to do, but this was my prayer to God. I said, God, all those years, those last 5 years I spent in prison, I said, Lord, I live for you. I said, I promise you, I would not ever leave giving up spreading the word. I said, but you got to give me something, God. You got to give me something so when people see me, I'm not the same old raggedy person that I used to be. I'm not the old vagabond that I used to be. Because then, Lord, how am I going to win souls? How are you going to win souls through me if I have nothing? And then I went and tried to get some credit. They said, you have no credit score. My credit score went from having no credit score to very poor. Then it went from very poor to poor. Then it went from poor to fair. Today I have a good credit score. An old dope fiend like me. An old liar and dope fiend come out with $50 and two outfits. I have a high credit. I have a credit score. I have a nice car. I can change clothes and look. I can look presentable when I need to. I live in a nice neighborhood. And that's not all. And I'm not saying that because I'm nobody. But that's God is no respect to a person. He has what you're looking for. And I always have something to give. God promised me some promises. He said, you shall be a lender and not a borrower. And that's the truth in my life. And I'm going to share this, then I'm going to close. I went up to, and I think I've said this before, I went up to Madison to preach in the women's prison. I was going to give my testimony that Saturday and preach that Sunday. Now, they paid for the gas for me to get there. Good enough. Okay, that's good. I get ready to pay for room and board. They say, well, somebody's paid for your room and board. I said, whoa, look at God. I go to breakfast and I ask for my ticket. I said, can I get my ticket? And the lady said, those people out there paid for your breakfast. I'm almost in Kentucky. I don't know these people. I go to a different restaurant at dinner. When I get the read, I said, let me get my ticket. She said, somebody paid for yours over there. They said not to say who it was. I came back to Fort Wayne. I spent $8 that weekend on candy at a gas station on the way home. You tell me, the Bible says you make room for your gifts, and your gifts will make room for you. Because God knew that all he brought me out of, the gunshots, the baseball bats, the knives, the stabbings, all he brought me through, he knew he was going to use me. So he went in that thing, he said, don't worry about what you need. Because I had thought about, I'm going to go around and ask for some sponsors. And God put in my, he said, pull your wallet out. And I pulled my wallet, open it up. I looked at my wallet, 50s, 20s. He said, what do you need a sponsor for? And you got me. What do you need a sponsor for? God has everything you need. Just tell him where you are. When you leave here tonight, you no longer got to get on knees and pray superficially. Tell him where you are. He knows. And he's trying to get you where he wants you to be. But sometimes God lets things happen to me to show me where I'm at. Not so he know where I'm at. He wants me to see where I'm at because sometimes I think I'm further along than I am. And God showed me, no, let's slow down. You're still here. But Jesus loves you. So at the end time, when they were getting ready to read over you, let that dash be for real.